Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
A long time ago, Napoleon Hill wrote about this in Think and Grow Rich, where he referenced this idea several times throughout the book. Well, the whole book was about helping somebody become as successful as they want to become. But in the book, he said some things that really baffled a lot of people. One of the first things he said was that there was a secret in the book, and that he wasn't going to tell you what the secret was because he felt that it was better understood if it was just left in plain sight, and a person would see the secret in the book when they were ready to see the secret in the book. And the truth is, the secret's not in the book, the secret is in yourself. The second part was that he said, when riches come, if they come at all, they will come with such great abundance and ease, you'll wonder where they've been hiding through all of the lean times. And I thought to myself when I first read that, that is, who would not like to experience that? I mean, how cool would that be, that it's going to come and it's going to come with ease? I think the biggest problem is that when a person reads the book, especially the first few times, they're reading the book as if something is going to happen to them in their life. It's kind of the way the book is written a little bit. Eventually, if a person stays the avid student and continues to apply the principles in that book and in other areas, what they begin to find out is it's all about how they're showing up in their life that allows that to happen. Not that something magical is going to happen to you. I think the most magical thing, if you're going to go down that road, would have to be the fact that you're attracted to the information to begin with. The fact that you're in this room, the fact that you study success principles at all, in whatever form you currently study them or have studied them in the past, is an indication that you're not supposed to be where you are, but that there's something much greater for you that you should be doing. And you're searching for that answer. How do I go from basically this side to this side? And this, like I said, so this applies to everything. If you apply this to your perception, you could say that that this side is bad and this side is good. Basically, what you're doing is you're using this law to observe something in your life, whether it's something that you did, something that happened to you, something that you're observing happen to somebody else. You could say that's a bad thing or happened, or that's a good thing that happened. If we come to the center where the truth is, everything just is, nothing is good or bad until we make it so. That would be the truth. Now, the idea about this law is, what side do you want to live on? There are definitely things that we can experience in life, and we can say with relative ease, that's a pretty bad thing to experience. But that's also the easy thing to say. If we can work our way around to say what is good about this, then we can grow. If you can look in your bank account or your checkbook or your credit cards or whatever your resources are, when they indicate to you that you don't have what you need to fulfill the desires that you have, And you could say to yourself, but it has to be there anyway because that's the law. That's one of the first indications that you can grow. Because you're willing to look at the other side of it. But when you only see this side, and then you make a decision from this side, and you say no, because what this generally does is it puts us in a no decision. No, I can't do it. No, I won't do it. No, I don't have the money to do it. Or whatever other reason that you come up with. You're basically saying no to your own life, to your own purpose, because this side can't get into your life until you're willing to walk across this line. You have to be willing to walk across it, to cross it. And as we move from this side to this side, there's a profound change that has to take place within us in order for that to happen. What is it that keeps so many people on this side of the line? Fear. Fear. So take out a sheet of paper . There's a blank sheet. And I want you to take a few minutes and I want you to write down all the things that you haven't done in your life because of fear. Because of fear. All the things that you haven't done because of fear. Okay. Now let's understand something about fear, and we're going to talk about this. Here's the interesting thing about fear. In order for fear to get you to say no, it has to get your agreement. And I don't ever want you to forget this. Because if you can remember what I'm telling you right now for the rest of your life, it will allow you to do something that most people never do. And that is to step out of the fear briefly and analyze their decision from a place of truth versus the fear that we're experiencing in our body or our mind and what our circumstances are, whether it's lack or a bad or poor experience. And that is simply this. What am I agreeing with in my fear? Because that's how fear stops every person. It's the only way fear can stop you, is it gets you to agree with something that's not true. It's interesting that human beings are only born with basically two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So you're dealing with a 2-million-year-old brain that has a mechanism in it that is designed to stop you from doing things that are perceived that would kill you. But once you grow up today, fear is not something that should even be part of your life. One of the reasons that that's true is that you have the ability to choose. So I understand that there's a lot of people that live in fear. They live in all different kinds of fear. Maybe they're in fear in a relationship. Maybe they're in fear of their finances. Maybe they're in fear of their health. Maybe they're in fear of where they live in the world. But we have the ability to choose. So if we're actually in some kind of danger, we can choose to move ourselves out of that danger. So there's no reason to live in fear. So, but when fear stops you from doing something, to move from one side of this line to the other side of the line, if you pause just briefly and ask yourself, what is it that I'm agreeing with in order for this fear to stop me? What am I agreeing with? Because I'm agreeing with something. And for most people, it's subconscious. They're not even sure what it is that they're agreeing with because they've never asked this question of themselves before. But they're definitely agreeing with something that's subconscious. And because they're agreeing with something that's subconscious, all they experience is the emotion, a bad feeling, and they look at what is the physical representation that I cannot do this? What is the experience? What is it in my environment? What is it in my ability or lack of ability that says that I can't do this? They agree with it, and then they stop right there. And there's no forward movement. It could be something from your past, even. And for a lot of people, it is something from their past. In this moment that you move into agreement, your subconscious mind believes that it is protecting you from something. But all fear, from a scientific perspective anyway, is designed to do is to keep you alive. That's it. It's a subconscious emotional response that says, move away from this thing that is a threat so that you can stay alive. But what is it today that we're so afraid of when in 99% of the cases, the decisions that you're making have nothing to do with keeping you alive at all? A matter of fact, they're actually more detrimental to your life because you're not really living when you're not moving on this side of the line. You're just playing it safe. And when you play it safe, you have to end up living in fear because you have to play it safe about something. So that threat, whatever that perceived threat is always there for you. It's always there. So what is it that you agree with? You want to write that down right now. When I say no to moving across this line, what is it that I agree with? Is it that you can't do it? That something's going to go wrong? You're going to make a mistake? All the reasons of why I can't do something are on this line, wrapped up in your fear, wrapped up in what you agree with. On this side of the line is how I can do something. And that sets you into freedom. What do you agree with? In the poem, he makes a... It's interesting. I think it's written the same way on your sheet. Where he says, have you known the great white silence, not a snow gem, twig, a quiver? And then underneath that, in parentheses, he says, eternal truths that shame are soothing lies. Eternal truths that shame are soothing lies. Basically, we have to lie to ourselves over and over and over again, and we do, to keep something true in our life that we're using to protect ourselves from something. And most likely it's generational. We're not the first one to say it or believe it. Somebody passed it down to us. And in this scenario, in this poem, he's saying that these are basically eternal truths of life. Because we're the only form of life that you'll ever see playing it safe. If you go sit and you watch nature that is uninterrupted by human beings for the most part, you're going to see that nature lives in its truth and the eternal truth. You don't see nature sitting around worrying, planning, scheming, trying, you know, I mean, nature knows exactly what to do and when to do it. And it doesn't live in fear. It knows how to survive and it knows how to thrive. What it doesn't know how to do is it doesn't know how to consciously choose. So if something in nature is presented in a situation where it's in danger of something else, like a predator killing it, it knows exactly what to do. Run, fight, or hide. And then as soon as the danger's gone, it goes on living. Think about that for a moment. It continues to go on living. Building its nest, digging its tunnel, gathering its food, having babies, whatever it is that it does, it doesn't sit around, make an appointment to go to the doctor to get some Prozac or something because it was just chased by a lion. It goes on living. And this has been going on for millions of years. We do something. It's interesting. It's really, really interesting. We do something. We make a mistake. And it's like we repeat. So you have the mistake. You have an experience. You have something in your life happen that you don't like. But what we do is we tell ourselves that story over and over again until we become paralyzed, until we can no longer move forward, until we stay in the same place.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.